goes like this. The fourth, the fifth, minor fall and the major lift. The baffled king composing alleluia, 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 alleluia.
Welcome, welcome once again. We are live on 186.7 Confederation Station, and we are giving you Northern Exposure. It is exciting to be back. I know I took a week off last week with the V2 launch. There was so much going on that it just didn't seem like the right time to produce another podcast. I thought I'd wait to see if some interesting articles could shake down and see what people had to say, et cetera, et cetera. But here we are. We are good to go. And things are back to normal. Today's opening music, I'm not going to tell you who the singer was. I'm going to let you have some fun with that. And let's just say I know that person. So, and at that, we'll leave it at that and let you folks kind of figure it out, because I like to have some fun every now and then with that. So we're going to leave things as is in that respect. However, we will jump right into Around the Horn, and just doing things a little bit differently this time. Normally, I would pick five articles, et cetera, et cetera. Although with V2 going on, there's so much to talk about, and there are a lot of V2-dominating articles talking about how bad things are and so on and so forth. I think what I'm going to do is take the current top five articles in Canada and just take a quick walk through them, let you know who the authors are, and from there, maybe a little brief synopsis and so on and so forth. So let's start with the very first article, called Helping Canada and Its Allies. And this comes from Lig Trebo out of the United States and his newspaper, the Paperless Newspaper. And interestingly, this is the first non-Canadian-based article that I've ever featured on this particular podcast. So that being said, Lig Treb brings to us some commentary around the whole, should we rent a titanium region or should we not rent a titanium region? And he is arguing, obviously, coming from the United States, that this is going to be a positive thing for Canada. And he highlights, renting one of your titanium regions will not only help Canada, but help Eden and the Liberal Alliance as well. He does argue that, yes, as Jacoby says, Canada is the only source of titanium for Eden right now. However, renting one of your regions will not hurt your economic power at all. And, you know, I agree with that in a lot of respects, because if you think about it, we do own the only titanium regions right now that are attached to Eden. And there may come a point where we do need to think about the power broker position that we find ourselves in. We're not strong enough to hold off attack from other regions on our own, other countries. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with renting out one of these regions to the United States and help with this scarce resource that we have, and at the same time collect some Canadian and gold out of the transaction. The fact of the matter is, as Lig Treb says, if Canada keeps both titanium regions, you'll be missing out on hundreds of gold per week and thousands per month, which, again, would be very, very helpful in terms of budget. And as we consider the current situation, the state of affairs on the marketplace, and certainly with the pending war module, having that extra money may not necessarily be a bad thing. Let's also consider that the fact remains, every country needs strong allies. And as much as we have the Liberal Alliance and other allies in place, I wonder if we look selfish and greedy by holding on to two titanium regions as opposed to renting one out, helping out Eden, helping out the Liberal Alliance. It is a great opportunity to strengthen what is already, in many cases, a very strong alliance. And, I'm pretty confident that by renting out this region to Eden and the Liberal Alliance, we get the opportunity to get double the titanium, because we're going to have an opportunity to tap into harvesters out of the United States that will help in terms of bringing in more titanium. I know people say, well, why don't they just come and migrate to Canada and you know and work in Canadian companies? And, you know, life doesn't work that way. And certainly if we're going to be a economic player and a global, a global player, we also need to be able to play fair in the sandbox. And we were gifted in terms of getting two titanium regions. I don't see why we have to be selfish about the whole thing. And certainly by renting out a region to the United States, we help Eden, we help the Bro Alliance, and we, at the same time, let's face it, we're going to reap some economic benefit as well. We're not just giving this away for free. So I do think it's time for us to give some consideration to that, and Ligtreb presents some good arguments in his article. Number two on the current run of articles, of course, is the reason Canada will never rent its titanium from the great and certainly storied Jacobi. There is truth to the fact that certainly having two titanium regions, we do have a monopoly. And he's right when he says, you know, we have Boardwalk and Park Place of the New World. However, keep in mind, those of you who are avid Monopoly players should know that Boardwalk and Park Place are not the best properties to have on the board. First of all, there's only two of them, and statistically speaking, it has been proven that the odds of landing on Boardwalk or Park Place are greatly reduced in comparison to the other properties, given the fact that there's only two instead of three, where most of the other major properties on a Monopoly board have three spaces. And then you also have to factor in the cost of purchasing houses and hotels for those properties and the initial purchase price of Boardwalk and Park Place. The fact remains that any Monopoly player worth their salt knows that having Boardwalk and Park Place is not necessarily the best choice available. So it's interesting because he says, you know, Monopoly, it's for the win, and you know, we should hold on to titanium and regions and not rent them out and so on and so forth. But again, if you're going to use the Monopoly analogy, let's keep in mind that you know, the more you spread out your resources, the more effective that you can become. And again, just because we have a monopoly in that respect doesn't necessarily mean that that we're going to be the big winners at the end of the day. So unfortunately, Jacobi and I differ on that point, in that I think it's a good idea to consider at the very least renting out regions, where Jacobi seems to give me the impression that it is not a good thing for eCanada. Interesting little article that managed to make it into the number three spot right now by Kears and Barrett, called Revelations and Drama, exclamation points, ones, so on and so forth, with a bunch of pictures of a hypno toad and accusation that Iron Man is a Peruvian Piper, Sarah Droz is the former Canadian Prime Minister Brian Mulroney, Poland is planning to invade Canada, and Canada is planning to invade Poland. I don't know where this article comes from. Frankly, I have no idea how it managed to garner 127 votes, although I guess people are quite excited by the hypno toad that's in the article. Interesting that there are so many other great journalistic pieces out there, and somehow this particular article has snagged number three. Enough said, not a lot to say about that particular article, but hey, that's the way it goes. An alert from CSIS to beware of fake government organizations. CSIS HQ has released an article, and so I will stress this. The government of eCanada, and there is a link to this organization in the article, is not, I repeat, not a government organization. It is a private organization. There are certain assumptions and presumptions that are surfacing over who the true owner is. I won't comment on that because there really, for me, there hasn't been any solid indication one way or the other. Therefore, e-Canadians who are reading the newspaper eCan government updates, it is not an official government newspaper. So do not take any official press releases or so on and so forth reflected in that paper as reflecting the views of the government or any of its members or its cabinet. Again, the article, A Tragedy of Our Time, is not a governmental press release. It's imperative that e-Canadians who are reading the news, please beware of these orgs and do not trust their shouts, articles, etc. If you happen to stumble across one of these organizations which is posting itself as a government, or you're not sure, just simply reach out to either CSIS, or you could reach out to the Prime Minister of eCanada. or certainly any of the cabinet members as well. There are plenty of people that you can reach out to who will be able to point you in the right direction. So, again, just a heads up to beware of fake government orgs and to beware of fake government newspapers. We certainly, you know, with the soon-to-be-launched military module, communication will be critical, and it'll be very, very important that e-Canadians are following the correct information and orders as they come from the official government. Filling in at number five with 63 votes, if you have not yet checked out the Penguin comics, you are missing out on an incredible Lulz opportunity. I love the Penguin comics. James McNamara has carved out a wonderful little niche in the news by producing these Penguin comics. They are absolutely hysterical. I've been following them closely, and this particular one is certainly you know, just as good as any of the others that have been produced. So if you haven't checked these out, you really got to, because, of course, you know, Penguin puts together a lot of work to get these done. They look fantastic. They are a lot of fun. They're a great satire of current events. And I strongly endorse and support subscribing, reading, commenting, and reshouting these comics, because they're absolutely hysterical. So definitely want to go and check those out. And, you know, James, if you are listening to this podcast, please, 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 more Penguin comics for me. I love them, and I get such a laugh out of them. So give me more now. So I want more. So that, folks, comprises your top five articles as of today, July the 16th, 2010, in eCanada. So if you have not had an opportunity to review those, please do. And I also want to quickly add here, speaking about Around the Horn and news, if you see an article tagged WGC, this means that the article and its writer are a member of the Writers Guild of Canada, to which I am a member myself. This illustrious order or organization or group or whatever you want to call it, or our guild, comprises what we believe to be the best writers in eCanada. If you see an article that's tagged WGC, give it its due attention. Read it, vote it, shout it, comment on it. You can be sure that WGC tagged articles represent good quality journalism in the e-Canadian news. It would be great to see more of these articles being voted up and working their way further up the ranks in terms of votes and so on and so forth. So if you do see one of those articles, please vote it. Please give it its due attention. You certainly cannot go wrong. News for noobs. And this is kind of a twofold thing. Today I'm going to focus on V2 employment, because there's a lot to consider in terms of V2 employment, if you can even find employment, which I know some people are struggling with. If you are a newer player who migrated into V2 and thought that learning V1 was a bit of a challenge, and now, or maybe you were just getting the hang of V1 and all of a sudden everything got thrown up in the air and you really don't know which end is up anymore, I'm just going to offer some simple advice around V2 for employment. If you can find a job, first and foremost, the old rules always apply. If you can, try to work for companies that aren't going to drain your wellness or happiness as much as the higher star rated companies. So perhaps looking for lower star rated companies if they're available. And now that we have a 24-hour timeline to work with, in terms of how many hours a day you can devote to working, this means you have an opportunity to increase or reduce the amount of wellness that you're going to take a hit on. So, you know, logic would dictate the average person would work 8 hours a day. However, that may not necessarily be the right thing for you. And I would strongly suggest, as I've been doing this as well, if you find that your wellness and your happiness are a bit on the low side, go and visit the residential district first and spend a little bit of extra time there. If you're particularly unhappy and your wellness is particularly low, perhaps devote extra time to the residential district to recover that. Then go ahead and do your working and your training and your studying, whatever the case may be, because, again, productivity and getting the most out of the time you spend doing those other things can be gained by making sure that your wellness and your happiness are as high as possible. So my strategy thus far has been to visit the residential district first, make sure that my wellness and my happiness are high, and then I go out and work and train and do all that other good stuff that that I need to do. Next week, hopefully, when this podcast comes out next week, the V2 War module will have relaunched, and we'll have an opportunity to discuss that. But again, V2 employment, key things to remember. Residential district first, if your health and wellness are on the low side, and your happiness. Number two, looking for lower star-rated companies for newer players to help reduce the amount of hit that you're going to take to your happiness and your health. And number three, certainly make sure that you adjust the amount of time that you're working. So if you find that your wellness and your happiness are low even after spending extra time at the residential district, maybe don't work the full 8 hours. Maybe work 4 hours or 6 hours or whatever have you, because you do have the option, of course, to adjust that as you go. So you definitely want to take advantage of that opportunity. Hometown heroes. This is the section of the podcast where we focus on one particular individual, and we look, and we kind of gather some information about them. And in this particular case, I'm going to pick on Crazy Mofo 13. And I'm not going to say pick on him, because he's a great guy. I've had a number of conversations with him, and I thought he made a great choice for Hometown Heroes as we take a look at E-Canadians and profile them and help you get to know them better. And perhaps you should consider adding them as a friend. So today I'm going to take on Crazy Mofo, who, to the best of my knowledge, was elected party president of the Canadian Progressive Front, an outstanding achievement, and I'm sure he will do a tremendous job as the party president. Crazy Mofo came to us April the 8th, 2010, so he's a few months old. Current national ranking is 2043. He is a level 21 player, born again day 870 of the New World. Crazy Mofo is a three-time Hard Worker Medal Award winner, a one-time congressman, and a one-time Super Soldier Medal winner. Currently working, or military rank, is captain in-game, and his military skill is that of an air unit, so we have a chopper on our hands. He works as a fitter, and I'm hopeful that he is able to find work. He runs a newspaper called Call Me Crazy. And as I said, I've had numerous conversations back and forth with Crazy Mofo 13, and I would say he is probably one of the greatest assets to the Canadian Progressive Front. Again, every time I've talked with him, it's been a great conversation. Obviously a very informed individual, and now he'll have an opportunity to highlight and showcase his talents as the party president of the Canadian Progressive Front, which I'm excited to see happen. I'd be very curious to see what direction he takes the CPF moving forward. This is a great opportunity for him, as I think the party is in a little bit of a rebuilding mode. Could be wrong on that, but again, I have the feeling that he'll take this party back up into the number two spot if given the opportunity in terms of party rankings. So if you have not added Crazy Mofo to your friends list, Crazy Mofo 13, I should just specify that, because there's several Crazy Mofos in this game. Crazy Mofo 13. Send him a friend's request and add him, because, again, great guy, a lot of good information in terms of the conversations I've had with him. And you know what? You cannot beat that avatar of the Chihuahua with a syringe in its mouth, looking rather, of course, crazy. So if you haven't already done so, add him, and you will not regret that decision. So now we're going to move on to This and That, which is my section of the podcast in which I get to focus on something of my own particular choosing or interest or whatever the case may be. And you'll find out today I've released an article that details my theme for my country presidential or prime minister run for the month of August. And for those who are 100% sure, I am, and I did announce in a previous article that I will be running for the Prime Minister's office in August, and I've released an article outlining the theme of my campaign, complete with a YouTube video. I will be perfectly clear right up front, that video is not mine. I did not create it. It was part of a course that I took some time ago that I found very inspiring, and I watched it again, and I thought, yep, that's exactly what I want my administration to look like. That's the theme that I want to run with. So I make no claims to copyright on that, just in case that comes up. And with the this and that section, I want to talk a little bit more about this whole titanium renting thing, because I think it's going to be a key issue in this coming election in August. I am pro-titanium renting. And I'm pro-titanium renting because I believe that helping other countries in our alliance is a good thing. We are not big enough on our own to be considered a superpower. We are a supporting cast member. And there's nothing wrong with that. But we have to accept the fact that we are a supporting cast. We are not the lead actor or actress. And it has been said that supporting roles bring out the best in the lead players. We have a genuine opportunity as one of the few countries that have a titanium region, and as the only country in the Eden Alliance that has a titanium region, we have a genuine opportunity to be tremendous supporting players. Now, this is a game, and alliances are made and broken, and things happen, and far be it from me to say that we would ever lose an alliance because of our inability to get over renting a region or our desire not to rent a region. I won't speculate that it would cost us an alliance. However, I think it would rub some people the wrong way. I think it sends the wrong message. I think it makes us look greedy and self-centered. And I think it makes us look as though we're not a team player. Now, people will argue that, you know, in a team-playing environment, why should we, as the supporting cast, be the ones to have to give something up? Well, that's the nature of being in a supporting role. Sometimes you have to forego some of the glory in order to get the bigger picture. And that requires vision. Being able to see the bigger picture, looking beyond where you are today and seeing what the future holds. I think it's a great thing that we rent out this titanium region because it strengthens our alliances in Eden. It strengthens Eden overall. And by renting to the United States, it strengthens the Bro Alliance. And that in itself is a phenomenal thing. There is nothing wrong with strengthening an alliance with a country like the EUSA. So again, I think we need to play a supporting role in this case because you know that Phoenix is going to come for these titanium regions. I think it makes it much easier, and although some will argue, yeah, well, Eden would never let those regions go because they wouldn't have any regions otherwise. And you know what? There is truth to that. Eden needs the titanium regions just as much as we need Eden. However, one hand washes the other. We still get a titanium region of our own. We lend one out. We still reap economic benefit, which will help with budget, which will help with additional resources, and will continue to provide a solid source of income while the alliance is able to harvest titanium faster and more efficiently than we can right now. So I think this is going to be a divisive issue in the Prime Minister's elections. I think the battle lines will be drawn between the pro-renting and the anti-renting group. And I am firmly on the pro-renting side for all the reasons I've already discussed. And I won't swagger from that, and I'm not going to move away from it. But I do think that's where the battle lines will be drawn. And I think these elections will be defined by the collective decision of this nation around whether or not we choose to serve as a supporting member or whether we choose to, dare I say this, and I quoted, you know, a departed friend, are we willing to let go of some of the precious? Or are we going to be Gollum and, you know, keep it all to ourselves and shun the rest of the world? It's a decision we have to make. and we have to accept that there are ramifications and consequences for both options. We have to weigh which one makes the most sense. And I've looked at both sides, and that's where I landed. So that's that. That's my this and that for this particular episode. Obviously, I'll let you decide. Kelly Mahoney came and posted an article with a petition saying that she wanted Robert W. Services, the cremation of Sam McGee, read live over 186.7 Confederation Station. And I graciously said, you got it. Anything for you, Kelly. You know what? I would walk on water for you. You're a great person, and I would certainly do almost anything for you. So on that note, this is the part of the show where I normally pull a piece of poetry or a quote, whatever, and provide it. And since the petition was started and so many people signed saying, yes, we need to have this read, blah, 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 I'm going to do that. So for those who don't know, The Cremation of Sam McGee was written by Robert W. Service, born 1874, died 1958. Robert Service has produced a number of phenomenal poems, this just being one of them. But definitely, this is one of his best pieces of work. So on that note, I give you The Cremation of Sam McGee. Not to be confused with Pants McGee. Anyway, I move on. There are strange things done 'neath the midnight sun by the men who moil for gold. The Arctic trails have their secret tales that would make your blood run cold. The northern lights have seen queer sights, but the queerest they ever did see was that night on the marge of Lake Lebarge when I cremated Sam McGee. Now Sam McGee was from Tennessee, where the cotton blooms and blows. Why he left his home in the south to roam round the poles, God only knows. He was always cold, but the land of gold seemed to hold him like a spell. Though he'd often say in his homely way that he'd sooner live in hell. On a Christmas day, we were mushing our way over the Dawson Trail. Talk of your cold through the parka's fold, it stabbed like a driven nail. If our eyes we'd closed, then the lashes froze till sometimes we couldn't see. It wasn't much fun, but the only one to whimper was Sam McGee. And that very night, while we lay packed tight in our robes beneath the snow, and the dogs were fed, and the stars o'erhead were dancing heel and toe, he turns to me, and Cap, he says, I'll cash in this trip, I guess. And if I do, I'm asking that you won't refuse my last request. Well, he looks so low that I couldn't say no. Then he says with a sort of moan, it's the cursed cold, it's got right hold till I'm chilled clean through to the bone. It ain't being dead, it's my awful dread of an icy grave that pains. So I want you to swear that foul or fair, you'll cremate my last remains. Well, a friend's last need is a thing to heed, so I swore I would not fail. We stared on at the streak of dawn, but God, he looked ghastly pale. He crouched on the sleigh, and he raved all day of his home in Tennessee. And before nightfall, a corpse was all that was left of Sam McGee. There wasn't a breath in that land of death, and I hurried on, horror-stricken, with a corpse half hid that I couldn't get rid because of a promise I'd given. It was lashed to the sleigh, and it seemed to say, you may tax your brawn and your brains, but you promised true, and it's up to you to cremate these last remains. Now, a promise made is a debt unpaid, and the trail has its own stern code. In the days to come, though my lips were dumb, in my heart, how I cursed the load. In the long, long night, by the lone firelight, while the huskies round in a ring howled out their woes to the homeless snows. Oh God, how I loathed the thing. And every day that quiet clay seemed to heavy and heavier grow. But on I went, though the dogs were spent, and the grub was getting low. The trail was bad, and I felt half mad, but I swore I would not give in. And I'd often sing to that hateful thing, and it hearkened with a grin. Then I came to the marge of Lake Lebarge, and a derelict there lay. It was choked with ice, but I say in thrice it was named the Alice May. I looked at it and thought a bit, then I turned to my frozen chum. And this, said I with a sudden cry, is my crematorium. Some planks I tore from the cabin floor and lit the boiler fire. Some coal I found that was lying around and heaped the fuel higher. The furnace roared and the flames they soared, such a blaze you seldom see. Then I burrowed in a hole in the glowing coal, and I stuffed in Sam McGee. Then I made a hike, for I didn't like to hear him sizzle so. And the heavens scowled, and the huskies howled, and the wind began to blow. It was icy cold, but the hot sweat rolled down my cheeks, I don't know why. And the greasy smoke in an inky cloak went streaking down the sky. I do not know how long in the snow I wrestled with grisly fear, but the stars were out and they danced about ere again I ventured near. I was sick with dread, but I bravely said, I'll just take a peek inside. He's probably cooked. It's time I looked. Then the door I opened wide. And there sat Sam looking calm and cold in the heart of the furnace roar. He wore a smile you could see a mile, and he said, please shut the door. It's warm in here, but I greatly fear you'll let in the cold and storm. Since I left Plumtree down in Tennessee, it's the first I've been warm. There are strange things done 'neath the midnight sun by the men who moil for gold. The Arctic trails have their secret tales that would make your blood run cold. The northern lights have seen queer sights, but the queerest they ever did see was the night on the marge of Lake Lebarge I cremated Sam McGee. And that, folks, is The Cremation of Sam McGee by Robert W. Service. Again, wonderful poet. Definitely worth checking out more of his work if you get the opportunity. Google him. Lots of great stuff there, to be sure. And on that note, that brings me to the end of this episode of Northern Exposure. It has been a pleasure to be broadcasting to you live once again from 186.7 Confederation Station out of E-Canada. This has been your host, Acacia Mason. It has been an absolute pleasure. The weather is beautiful outside. I think I'm going to get out and enjoy it before the storms hit again and we get more rain. I hope you enjoyed this week's episode. I look forward to speaking with you again next week. And until then, good luck, good day, good fun. Maybe there is a God above, but all I've ever learned from love was how to shoot somebody who outdrew you. Not a cry that you hear at night. It's not someone who's seen the light. It's a cold and it's a broken hallelujah.